Good morning. Today is the first Monday of the new year.
Happy New Year, Brian.
Yay. The 3rd of January. Joining us this morning, Captain?
Captain.
All right, Brian Stevens. You know, acting, interim, permanent. from Eureka Police Department. Well, it was a little exciting last week. I guess we've got a topic to talk about, huh?
We do, yes.
All right. Before we do that, though, let's see what we can come up with here. Okay. Now, this I discovered last week. This has got chapters and segments. So, you know, naturally I start at the front. I didn't realize it was the world of entertainment, which probably says why things have been a little goofy. So I'm going to go to money, business, and commerce, okay?
Things I know absolutely nothing about.
Thanks, Brian. Well, let's see. Is there anything in here? Outdoors?
Maybe.
Making fun of others?
No.
No?
Not a comedian.
Okay. Some things that aren't what they seem. Oh. Oh, I found the sweet spot. All right. Why do we say barge in?
I'm not sure, Brian.
Well, that was too short.
I mean, I grew up on the Ohio River, so I was the first thing that came to mind is the barges, and I'm sure it has some, maybe because of the way that the barges go into the locks when they're getting transported up and down the river.
You're starting to get a little close here, buddy. If you barge into a conference room or take a seat, your actions will not remotely resemble those of a clumsy cargo vessel. Yet movements of such a ship gave rise to our expression. It was brought back to Europe by the Crusaders, who were impressed by small sailing vessels that they saw in the Nile River. Adapting the Egyptian name, similar ships built in Britain were called barges. Especially designed for use in shallow water, the barge proved to be useful in canals as well as in rivers. Eventually, steam replaced sails on these flat-bottomed craft that were sturdy but clumsy. Accidents were frequent, for once a barge got underway, it was difficult to stop it or get it to change direction. By 1800, shippers were comparing hasty actions of any sort with the heavy rushing of a cargo boat. As a result, we continue to say a person busting into any situation is barging in.
Yeah.
See, you were there.
I was getting there.
You were there, baby. new guy in town yet?
Yeah, he got in Friday night, and I'll be picking him up as soon as I leave here and taking him back to the office. And
congratulating him on not arriving, on getting a full breakfast instead of showing up here. I kind of had that sense. Winston, I need a bookmark on that one. What can you say about him?
I mean, he's definitely a cop's cop, just talking to him. Spent lunch with him yesterday. 30-some years, San Diego, deputy chief from San Diego PD.
Seems like we've got a pipeline from San Diego to Humboldt County, huh?
There's a great amount of experience coming out of San Diego right now to Humboldt County, which I think is good. We learned a lot from Chief Mills. I think Arcata's in a much better place with Chief Ahern, and I think Chief Jarvis will bring a lot to the table and help carry us through this transition.
Now, he's very definitely an interim chief, from what I understand.
That's everything I've been told, sir.
Yeah. So he's been for a long time. Was he currently, or had he recently retired?
He recently retired.
So he's still up to speed with what's going on.
Yeah.
What'd you take away from lunch, other than dessert?
I actually didn't have dessert. Had a great crab sandwich, though. So.
Oh, you went top shelf going in. Okay, fine.
I did. You know, I'm excited about it. I'm excited for the support and the chance to also, you know, bounce ideas off someone, learn from someone's experience that he has. We have a couple new things coming, like the Community Accountability Board through the City Council and an independent auditor, things that San Diego already had in place at times. His experience with that will definitely help us navigate those waters as we implement those. So I'm looking forward and think I have a lot to learn from the experiences he's had and be able to move the department forward.
You said auditor. Now, when we say auditor in current times, that means financial?
No, this is going to be more of along the lines of accountability. So it'll be someone that will be reviewing, you know, use of force reports, reviewing complaints that come in, reviewing the investigations that we do, and then presenting those to the accountability board. Can offer suggestions, but just making, you know, it's like a second level of review on everything to ensure we're doing things the right way.
Now, I know in the past, and I'll go back 20, 25 years, so I don't think there's probably, there may be somebody on the force still, but not too many. When there was a new election at city council, all of a sudden, sat up, brought the table down to Bayshore Mall and said, "You got a complaint, come and talk to me." And it was you probably have heard those stories.
I heard those, yeah.
Yes, and it was revisiting a number of issues that had already been investigated. But now you had the pressure of an elected saying they wanted to have those things revisited. At what point do you go, you know, we've already taken care of that one. We feel very confident and comfortable that was fully investigated. Sorry, it didn't rise to the level of prosecution or of pursuit. Or, hey, thank you very much. We didn't realize that there was that additional information. You go back into it, and good things happen.
So when it comes to, like, crime cases, those are always, we're always looking for, it's unsolved. We always want more information. But if you're talking about, like, internal complaints or complaints we receive from the public, I honestly feel the department does an excellent job of the way we process those, the way we investigate those and close them out. We send letters to the complainants on the findings of every one of those. We notify the officers of the findings. In the world of body cams, a lot of times with these complaints come in and the investigation is just watching the body cam video because it's as independent as it gets because you don't have influences from both sides. You just get to sit back and watch a short video of what happened, and then a lot of times you can actually...
So those things have really been beneficial for the management team also.
Oh, incredibly. I mean, it's beneficial for the officers because these complaints come in and, you know, it's remembered one way because under the... You know, fiery incident and alcohol and drugs and whatever else may be taking place, that's how they remember it. You sit down and watch the video, it may be exactly opposite of what they remember. And it's relatively short to close some of those complaints out. And you're closing them out thoroughly because you have the evidence to look at to do so. It takes the subjectivity out of it.
How long do you hold on to the video recordings?
All video recordings are held a minimum of 2 years. We can lock and keep videos longer than that. Anything that's non- adjudicated. So any case that's not adjudicated yet, it's got to be held till the case is adjudicated. Any critical incident's held forever. So
even though it's digital, it's still a storage issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Captain Brian Stevens. It almost feels like it was normal at one point. From EPD. So we had this situation last Thursday. I think from the outside, there was traffic redirection, a little bit of excitement, really not sure what was going on. I'm sure that you're not able to say, and it went, and you go A through Z. But at this point, what information is known that is available for the community?
So really, at this point, there's not much more we can release other than we put in the first press release, just because it's an ongoing active investigation. People are still being interviewed. Evidence is still being processed. But what happened was an individual was wanted by law enforcement, was contacted in the city of Eureka and began to ram multiple law enforcement vehicles, we believe with the intent to actually hurt the officers involved. An officer-involved shooting took place at that point. The vehicle fled. A vehicle crashed near the intersection of 5 and V Street. And then the suspect fled on foot into a greenbelt there just behind, like where Renner North is on 5th Street. The officers were able to set up a quick perimeter. We were able to set up a command post. Yeah, it's funny when you call out all, or shots fired on the radio, how many cops come out of the woodwork everywhere. Shortly thereafter, we knew we had him contained in there, and he gave himself up and was transported for medical treatment.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that hiding in a place that is clearly defined like a block is probably the most astute thing. But
it was desperate.
Yeah, it was probably, panic kind of thing. Is there any... Can you share why? What started? Was it? Was it like a just a routine? Driving too fast?
No, this was
light out.
Was a planned operation with a known suspect for reasons that we'll release later.
Yeah, gee, that was tough to put together. Does something like this, Brian? Obviously, there's a lot of engagement. You know, anybody, everybody is on board at the moment. So I kind of ask this question with a little tongue-in-cheek, but really, is this a major event, or is this a routine event that's exceptional, the response?
Yeah, I mean, no officer-involved shooting or critical incident is ever just routine or a main, you know. So, yeah, it's a main event, and while it's routine in the way that once you've dealt with a lot of them, you've got the process down. We have the critical incident response team for the county. They know what they're doing. They come in. They start their process. So from the command level, it's nice to have that support there because they know how to handle the investigations, be able to just provide some oversight and some guidance for them as things happen. Once the investigation gets started, once the scene is calmed down, that's when things start clicking along by policy, by the MOU. It's written out and it's really nice to have that in this county because we are so small and rural. There's no way we could handle these by ourselves, and it adds that level of transparency.
So the fact that it's there is cool. The fact that it's there is kind of disturbing, too, because obviously there has been history, and the need for this has been recognized.
Yes, and that's an unfortunate consequence of policing is that there are times when it's not pretty. Force has to be used, and when it comes to saving your life or the life of another community member, then sometimes that force ends up to being a critical incident and it turns into a deadly force situation. So, but it's always better to be planned and have those preparations in place than it is to be trying to catch up behind the curve because you're going to miss things. You're not doing any justice for the officers that were involved, for the community, and or the suspect if it was not a good shoot. So,
now, I imagine that a lot of people will try to use their memory called movies. You go, why didn't you just do a blank, the nail strips or whatever those things are called. Some of these things that you see employed by Hollywood aren't necessarily employed by the cops in that kind of a situation. There must be an escalating scale of seriousness as an event progresses.
A lot of times it just takes the planning. So if it's, if you're in a pursuit and you can actually think ahead far enough and you're going straight, try to get ahead, do the spike strip kind of thing, that's great. Sometimes events unfold very rapidly, and that's the piece that a lot of people don't understand about law enforcement is it's not on Monday morning. I can sit back, I can watch the videos, I can do all the stuff and tell you exactly what you need to do different to make a different outcome. In the moment, they're responding to what they're responding to, and it's unfolding in front of them. They don't have the ability to, sit down, take a plan, and then put that plan in place because by then negative things have happened to the point where somebody can get hurt. So, yeah, it would be great. And a lot of times they do a lot of pre-planning as much as we can, but, it's never going to go the way it's planned.
Yeah, it's really easy to second guess out of the classroom setting.
Yes.
Two years later or 2 months later. The training that you put the officers through, does it involve this magnitude of event, or is it more the routine, the 99.5% of the activities that you run into?
So when it comes to training, I could tell you there are trainings that are exactly like what happened on Thursday. There are classes, there are teams that train to do what they were trying to do on Thursday. From a patrol level, we try different things. We have different ways of doing things because of the amount of training we have. And then you try to expand people's trainings, but a lot of times you expand it through experience. And you have people on scene who have been through things, and they're the ones you count on to then take that scene and make it work a certain way because they know or have been there before.
Well, then with turnover, too, it's kind of tough. Yes. You know, you're always backfilling your training as well.
Yeah, for sure.
It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Brian Stevens from Eureka Police Department. Brian, how extensive is the training that the troops go through? You know, you got the initial stuff, and I know that's where a lot of emphasis has been going lately. But for some of these things that aren't somebody speeding, you pull them over. Is it 10% of the total number of hours a year, 5%? How much is allocated towards skill maintenance or development?
Yeah, I don't know how to break it down by percentage, but POST, our governing body for law enforcement, requires 24 hours of perishable skills training every 2 years. So that's
perishable?
Yeah, so your firearms, your de-escalation, your defensive tactics, your driving, those main core things that law enforcement do day in and day out, we have to meet those 24 hours of training every 2 years. And then we look at like continuing professional training through internal classes we put on, you know, implicit bias training. We have our own 10-hour post-certified de-escalation class that we put on.
Oh, everybody goes through that?
Everybody goes through that. We go through it once a year. Not the entire 10 hours, because once you've done the 10 hours, we break it down to like four to do
refresher
scenario
course.
Trainings, yeah. Refresher trainings, updates, use of force training. So are we training as much as we need to be? Probably not. Just because can you ever get enough training in this field where so many things are constantly changing? But we meet our needs when we go above that with some of the other classes that are more important and fit what we deal with on a daily basis. And when you look at, you know, probably close to 70% of all our calls have to do with either a transit related issue, a homeless related issue, or a mental health related issue. You know, the de-escalation piece for us is huge. We want to cut down on those encounters, going in any type of physical force to make arrest and trying to divert those to services or other types of resolutions that can limit the amount of time that we're actually dealing with those issues. So, you know, we try to focus on what is going to be the most beneficial for our officers and what they face day in and day out right now. And with staffing and, you know, everything is on overtime right now, so it's kind of tough for the, get, you know, they have to have days off too, they have to have training. It's just we're trying to balance a lot of pieces right now.
70% of your responses are in those three, or connected to those three?
That's my number. Could sit and listen to the radio all day.
Well, if that's what your intuition is saying.
Yeah, it's what it feels like, for sure. And it probably has gone up since, you know, the last 2 years of COVID. That's probably why it's around that 70%.
Well, it's interesting because I think most folks think, you know, catching the bad guy. It sounds more like social service than it is law enforcement.
We still do a very good job of catching the...
There's a blend over, yeah.
Yeah, we still do a very good job of catching the bad guys, but a lot of social service type stuff. And that's why we're looking at new programs and try to continue to alleviate that off of patrol, put them onto another organization or put them onto our CSET team, expand that team with the proper personnel to help for long-term resolutions on the street and get past COVID so all the resources open back up and we can start getting people flowing to where they need to be to help them out.
Are there agencies throughout the country that you're familiar with that have got, I guess it would be the equivalent of mental health for us, you know, it would be the DHHS stuff, but mental health folks that are 20% of their staff, 30%, 40%? Because this can't be just, I mean, we would like to think that it's just Eureka or just Humboldt County. But obviously, you know, with some of the news that you see, it's not just us. Is that kind of the new area of expansion for law enforcement?
Yeah, I don't know how much if it's actually like within the law enforcement realm or budget or umbrella, but there's definitely the attachment is there. agencies across the state and across the West Coast especially are looking at different programs and opportunities to encompass the mental health side into the law enforcement side, go together as a dual response when it needs to be, but then is there opportunities for mental health or those types of professionals like our homeless outreach workers? They go out on their own and can deal with a lot of issues and provide a lot of services, and it keeps law enforcement out of it. So this is a big push right now, trying to, you know, it's not defund the police. It's we need to fund it in the right way to alleviate some of the issues that officers have to deal with that they're truly outside their realm of expertise to deal with. Put the right professionals in that place, work together to solve those problems without having to take a law enforcement approach to make an arrest or criminalizing the behavior.
I think the phrase now is refund.
Refund, yes.
Not refund like in the grocery store refund. But So it's got to be interesting. So you got that going on. At the same time, you know, I don't know if it's because of the cute little signs on F or on 6th and 7th Street, or if I'm just kind of paying attention a little bit more. But there's a lot of zip, zip, zip driving that's going on. Broadway's got to be, I've seen a couple of really strange moves on Broadway also. I'm sure everybody else has. Are you seeing more of that stuff, or are we just kind of having a heightened sensitivity to it?
Probably a little bit of both. I think there's been a lot of messaging through the mayor's traffic task force and, you know, Go Slow, Watch the Road campaign, the F Street campaign, Slow the F Down, and then I know 6th and 7th Street now in Eureka have signs. So I think when you see those signs and you kind of like, it does draw your awareness to what's going on around you when you're driving. If you're one of those people who are trying to do the right thing, slow down, share the road with everybody. But I also agree, I think there's more aggressive driving taking place. I don't know why.
Or maybe panic driving.
Or lack of patience, for sure.
There
seems to be a lack of patience. And it really has caused a lot of problems. And, you know, we don't have the staff to run a traffic unit right now. And I'm not even sure enforcement would be the end all for that. We've seen it over the years where we can write as many tickets. I seen a study one time. We wrote as many tickets in a 5-year period in the 90s that they did in the 70s. And you look at the traffic collision accident reports for the same period of time, and they didn't change. So enforcement necessarily does not reduce the traffic collisions. I think environmental design sometimes does, especially at intersections. You know,
you mean like Booner and Jay?
I don't want to talk about Booner and Jay. I know you have issues with Booner and Jay.
No, I'm not talking about lifting off there where we are. But there seems to be glass at that intersection almost every week. You know, and I know the flashing lights around the stop sign are supposed to be cool, but when the sun's behind that, you're lucky to see a tree, let alone, you know, a little red light on,
you know,
on the stop sign.
Yeah, I think some of the areas we have had some success is like lengthening the time or the countdown signs at like the major intersections, 7th, 6th, H, and I. You know when it's going to turn yellow and then red then. Lengthen the time that all intersections stay red, so don't get that guy that jumps to green and then the guy that runs the red. There are some changes that have been positive. Still a lot of work to do in the traffic realm in this city to make it safer for everyone.
Shifting it over to engineering, huh?
We work together.
Not a bad move. I didn't even see your feet dancing there, dude. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:43.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with 4 airlines going to 7 cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on AHA, American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Reno, and Las Vegas. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Brian Stevens. So, Brian, with the challenges that you guys have got, the newly developed environment, things that are in place, are you seeing any trends, anything other than maybe some of the reckless, I guess maybe that's an old phrase, huh, reckless driving? But, you know, it's not weird to hear stories of somebody going 70 or 80 on Broadway now. That is just bizarre.
Yeah. It has to be the right time of day because traffic on Broadway is generally so backed up.
Oh, it would be a miracle certain times of the day, no question.
Yeah. But like we've seen at the wreck at Don's Rentals, I mean, that video.
Yeah, that guy, what was that about?
I still can't find him.
Really?
I would say there was probably alcohol or drugs involved in that because even at speed, you can handle that corner without an issue and definitely without taking out part of a building. So But yeah, there just seems to be definitely a lack of patience sometimes, it seems like, in the driving community.
Do you get that on personal interactions?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, people are just fed up. And a lot of it, I think, is COVID fatigue. Whether it's their businesses and they're trying to get back on their feet, whether it's they've been unemployed or whether they're running short of employees. I think we run into that in a lot of circumstances, whether it's on duty and we're dealing with victims of a crime or whether you're on your personal time and you're shopping or eating somewhere and you can see it and feel it in the staff because they're overworked and, you know, understaffed. But people are just trying to get back on their feet. So I think as a community, I honestly think we're coming out of this. I think things are going to be better in 2022. There's so many positive things coming to Eureka. We just need to sit back and start working together and enjoy what's going to happen over the next year.
Yeah, kind of let it wash over us,
yeah,
so to speak. But now, that's easy for a cop to say, tough for a cop to do. I mean, you guys are typically as A-type driven personalities as exist, short of the military. How are you gonna put that one down through the troops?
You know, what I tell them is, so we've made a lot of good arrests lately, and a lot of guys that are really causing some havoc in the city. And I commend them for the arrest. We never commend them for the prosecution, because we have no control over the prosecution. So I want them to focus on what they do every day. And sometimes the knowns, we figure them out. You know that I arrested this guy for burglary, and he's going to do 10 years in prison and won't be victimizing anybody in the city anymore.
But at least for a month and a half.
Well, yeah. Until a sentence gets reduced. But then we have these people who, you know, we make a DUI arrest, or we, you know, our V call, and we make an arrest and separate someone. We may never know how that turns out, but you may have stopped that DUI driver from going to the next intersection and killing a family of four. So you have to internalize, I may never know the positives that come out of my job, but I got to know that they're there.
You got to fill in the blank yourself. Yeah.
And that's how you stay motivated. Because if you look at the prosecutional side and what happens from the cases when it gets out of our hands, what we have no control over, you could dig yourself into a huge hole of, why am I even trying to do this? So I'm trying to just reinforce the reasons why every day we put the badge on, how much the community supports us. And we see that, we feel it, and it's great. And I honestly appreciate everyone in this community. But then the officers themselves have to find what drives them to keep it going. And that is just know that you are making a difference, even if tangibly you never see it.
Yeah, that internal, yeah, this is why I'm doing it kind of thing. Are you seeing cop burnout?
For sure. Yeah, we had an officer leave recently who was just tired of being in law enforcement. We try to
That's
find...
That's probably somewhat normal, too, just...
It is.
...regular times.
It is. We're asking a lot of our men and women right now. I mean, across the country, but definitely in Eureka. And so trying to find opportunities for them to, you know, have outlets. So you look at the shop with a cop. You look at some of the other community events.
A couple more
do.
Barbecues in the parking lot kind
Barbecue,
of thing.
Barbecue. Anything, yeah, we can do to just try to build that family atmosphere. We got each other's back, and we'll get through this. And then opportunities for training. So try to, we can finally send people out of the area for training. So if they want to put in for training, let's send them to San Diego. Send them to the Bay Area for a week and get some training.
Come back with a chief.
Yeah. So there's ways to break up that, you know, that burnout.
Yeah, the routineness of it. I would suspect that something just surprises.
Yeah.
Nice, pleasant surprises, things that can avoid some of the challenges that are out there. Yeah. Are the new folks coming in just as enthused?
They are. The ones that we have entering an academy in a couple weeks are ready to hit the ground running. We've had a couple of them in the department now for over a month helping out, doing certain things. And they're just ready to be
chomping
cops
at the bit, yeah, ready, just like the good old days.
And we know those people are still out there. And if you're interested in a job, we're going to be flying our recruit position again. So please reach out to us.
6th and D? No. C.
6th and C.
Ha! Got it. Thanks for coming by, bud.
All right.
See everybody tomorrow.